The year 2020 has been designated the Year of the Nurse and the Midwife by the World Health Organization in recognition of the 200th anniversary of the birth of Florence Nightingale, a visionary nurse and leader. Globally, there are approximately 28 million nurses and 2 million midwives, and together, these two professions make up 59% of the global health workforce. In celebration of the Year of the Nurse and the Midwife, the Maternal Health Initiative is recognizing the importance of these two professions through a series of events, articles, and podcasts. Nurses are the largest group of healthcare workers in the world, and during the COVID-19 pandemic, the role and importance of nurses have been magnified the world over. The first ever State of the World's Nursing Report was published by the World Health Organization, the International Council of Nurses, and Nursing Now in April 2020. The report provides a snapshot of the latest, most up-to-date evidence on and policy options for the global nursing workforce and makes a compelling case for investments in nursing education, jobs, and leadership. Based on data from the 191 countries that participated in the State of the World's Nursing Report, 90% of nurses are women, which makes the importance of discussing gender implications within the profession essential. I'm Sarah Barnes, and you're listening to Friday Podcasts, hosted by the Wilson Center's Environmental Change and Security Program and Maternal Health Initiative. In today's podcast, we share a portion of the conversation from our recent event on the first ever State of the World's Nursing Report, Unlocking the Gender Dimensions, hosted through the generous support of JAPAIGO. Today, you'll hear highlights from the discussion on gender, findings and recommendations from the State of the World's Nursing Report, and the unique role nurses play during the COVID-19 pandemic. First, we have Leslie Mancuso, President and Chief Executive Officer at JAPAIGO. Leslie provides an overview of the needs of women in the nursing workforce, focusing on findings from the State of the World's Nursing Report.
For a profession dominated by women, we must make progress in pay equity. We must have auditing of hiring and promotional practices, and we must ensure that policies are followed around prevention and addressing sexual harassment and violence in the workplace. Future policies must also consider an enabling working environment, particularly with a profession that has 90% women in it. They must look at flexible and manageable working hours. We must have a gender transformative leadership development program for women in the nursing workforce. And we must have equal standing and playing field in pay and practice so nurses can stand side by side with their contemporaries, regardless of gender, degree, or wages.
Up next, we will hear from Rosemary Morgan, an assistant scientist at the Bloomberg School of Public Health and School of Nursing at Johns Hopkins University. Rosemary speaks to the gendered nature of nursing, as well as the larger gendered systems of our societies and healthcare systems.
What we know from the data and from research is that health systems themselves are gendered institutions. So the same systems and structures of marginalization or oppression that we see in society, such as sexism, racism, patriarchy, we also see these reflected in health systems. These structures influence what services are provided, what is included or excluded in insurance packages, for example, what is included and excluded in policy, what policies get made in the first place, and who is included or excluded from decision making. And what we often see in health systems is a focus on health systems outcomes, so like health outcomes, improving the health of the world, of population. But we often don't see a lot of discussion in relation to the systems themselves and how they might be inequitable and might be perpetuating inequities. And we argue that how can we expect equitable outcomes, equitable health outcomes, if the systems and structures which support that are not equitable themselves? So professions that are highly gendered, like nursing, and skewed towards women's representation are often undervalued. And this links back to the systems and structures of oppression that I mentioned before, sexism and patriarchy. You know, and we see this undervaluing in relation to pay scales, who gets paid and how much. We saw a great example earlier about nurses, female nurses not being paid as much as male nurses in some contexts. We see this reflected in leadership structures, who progresses into leadership positions at all and who is left out. While 75 to 90% of the nursing workforce is women, we don't see this representation in nursing leadership positions. So men who enter nursing have a sort of glass escalator effect to nursing leadership positions. And we also see an adequate representation of nurses themselves within national and international decision-making bodies. And we argue that this is because of a general undervaluing of this very gendered profession.
Emily Katiri Kawe, the country director for Jibhaigo, Uganda, speaks to gender inequality in gendered views of the nursing profession.
In reading this report, three things stood out for me. First, the gender inequality in the global composition of nurses. It is very clear that the nursing profession has followed stereotypes associated to some professions. The minimal presence of men in the profession in the developed world indicates how this profession is perceived. In the low and middle income countries, nursing seems to look like the second class choice for those who have not made it to the professions of their choice. The second issue that came to me was the equity and protection within the workplace. There are disturbing indications of existence of pay gaps where female nurses are paid less than their male counterparts. The disparities in remuneration are not acceptable and need to be explained, and we must work to ensure that nurses are protected from such unfair decisions. There are also serious concerns that nurses, though they make up approximately 6% of the health workforce, they do not have at least 10% of leadership position in the healthcare system. In my experience, nurses demonstrate leadership qualities every minute in their workplace as they work to save our lives. It is these qualities that we need to nurture intentionally and make sure that nurses are given the confidence and space in the boardrooms and at the decision-making tables. Absence of protection from attacks in the majority of countries is also an issue of concern. It is urgent that we advocate for integration of the right policies globally. Nurses are parents, nurses are spouses, they are providers and caregivers. Nurses remain the heroes we have in tough times like we are in today, and they need our support.
As the Chief Executive Officer at the International Council of Nurses, Howard Catton shares his comments on gender inequity in the nursing profession and the importance of the State of the World Nursing Report.
For those of you who don't know, ICN is the body recognized by WHO and the international organizations to represent the voice of nursing. We are 130 national nursing associations strong. If you look at what's happening with COVID, if you look at what the State of the World's Nursing says, we know that we have a deeply ingrained history of gender inequality, unfair treatment, discrimination. That narrative is the plot line that runs through what we're seeing with COVID and through state of the world's nursing. And it's stark and it's shocking, but it's also a huge opportunity. Does it say something that this is the first time we've ever had a state of the world's nursing report? Why have we only had it now? ICN wrote in the last few days a letter to the G20 leaders telling them that they needed to do much, much more in relation to what they could do around both the production and the supply and distribution of PPE. And just in terms of a couple of the statistics around State of the World's Nursing Report, you've heard panelists talk about 59% of the workforce being nurses and midwives. Yes, the report also highlights that we only currently spend 25% of the education budget globally on 59% of the workforce. What does that say? How shocking is that? What does it say about the deep-rooted inequality? The fact that we have a 6 million shortage, we know that there's maldistribution around the world, but let's just call that over 20-21% shortage. Which other professions would that be tolerated? Would that be acceptable to have that level of shortage, given what we know that that means for people's work-life balance, stress, pressure, burnout as well?
Next, we'll hear from Jennifer Breeds, a gender technical advisor at JAPYGO, on the gender gaps in data reporting and some key takeaways from the report development process.
While the data presented is impressive and telling, so too are the gaps in terms of what was not able to be reported yet, particularly around entry-level salaries, educational investments, labor market flows, and gender wage gaps. So given that up to 90% of the nursing workforce is female, these omissions are inherently gendered, and they also underrepresent women's contributions to the global economy. So my takeaway from this process is that just as important as the report itself is the tremendous momentum that's really been set in motion over the past year by using the NHWAs and meaningfully engaging nurse leaders as partners with governments in gathering, triangulating, validating, and now importantly acting on the data to drive change. And that includes around the gender dimensions that this report brings to light.
In order to support nurses and increase the numbers of trained nurses, Michelle McIsaac, an economist with the Global Health Workforce at the World Health Organization, answers what investment in nursing and the health workforce looks like.
WHO has been working since about 2016, really talking about the global health workforce shortage in general and the need for countries to really be thinking about investing in health workforce and ensuring that we have sufficient supply of health workforce for things like COVID-19 and then emergencies that are happening. And so we've been talking about this for a while now. State of the World's Nursing Report gives us a really good bird's eye view on what's happening in one of the particular health occupations, nursing, which comprises the vast majority of health workers across the globe. And so for us, really what investment looks like is we're looking at something for sustainable domestic, regional, and international investment. And this investment is going to come in through three pillars. It's going to come in through education. We're going to see some jobs, decent jobs creation, and then in leadership. So we think that the investment needs to really have these three dimensions to it. At the moment, what we know is that there's a global shortage of almost 6 million nurses across the world. So we definitely need to see some investment for education and training to increase the supply of nurses, to fill the gaps. But also we need to ensure that we're creating jobs, because those are the things that are actually going to fill the shortage that we're seeing. It's not sufficient to just increase supply. We have to see the supply being used in the right ways, in the right places. Based on the calculations of the State of the World's Nursing Report, we know that countries who are experiencing a shortage will need to increase the number of graduates, so increasing the supply on average 8% every year through to 2030. So this is an estimated cost for these countries of around something like $10 per capita through to 2030 to really get us up to the level that we need to see redressing this global shortage. The solution is not just investment, obviously, in education, as has been alluded to. The world can't simply train more nurses and expect this gap to be filled. It's really a lot more complex than that. In some low and middle income countries, what we see is that we have nurses who are having a hard time finding decent jobs. In addition, the jobs that are created need to follow principles of decent work. So we don't want to just have nurses having jobs. We want nurses to have good jobs. We want nurses to feel satisfied in their working roles. So we want to really ensure that the conditions are good, that they're well paid, and that they come with protection from violence and harassment. And we know that violence and harassment in the health sector is high. It's much more prevalent than we see in other sectors. So it's really important that nurses are taken care of when they are in the labor market.
Nurses need to be valued and respected for the work that they do. Last in our podcast today, we will hear from Barbara Stillwell, the Executive Director of the Nursing Now Global Campaign, as she speaks to the importance of nurses' voices.
I think for us, one of the most exciting things about State of the World's Nursing is that we finally, all around the world, have evidence and data. We're all finally on the same platform, data platform, regarding nursing. There are lots of things about nursing that nurses and those of us who've been nurse researchers and nurse developers, lots of things that we've known. But now we've got the data, and not only the global data. If you go onto the WHO pages, you can see your country data too. And this is a huge opportunity for nurses to do something that they don't often do, in my opinion, not often enough, and that is to look out from nursing and tell other people about what's going on in nursing. So we know that now, 90% of nurses are women. You know, we always suspected that that was the case based on what we see and our experience. But now there it is. We have this. And we also know that women who are nurses don't hold leadership positions. They tend to be held by men. And we know that nurses who are women face the same constraints as women in other occupations, in that there's a glass ceiling. And though nurses may become senior managers in nursing roles, they often don't get into the wider managerial senior level positions, which they could and are qualified to occupy. And one example of that from the UK is Director of Public Health, which, and there are lots of nurses who are experts in public health, and it took many years for there to be a recognition that nurses could be directors of public health. You didn't have to have a medical degree, you had to know about public health. So, you know, there are lots of those positions around the world, and I think this report actually gives us data, it gives nurses data that they can find a voice with and take and present as a manifesto to their policymakers, politicians, budget holders. It's no longer just, well, I feel we're short of staff, I think we need more nurses on this ward. There's data. You can actually take it, you can put it in a graph like Florence Nightingale did, and you can take it and show it and make your case for being given more resources. And that's exactly what's happening now, where we see nurses advocating for more resources to help them deal with the pandemic.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Friday Podcasts, and thank you to all of our speakers and nurses across the globe. If you'd like to learn more about the Year of the Nurse and the Midwife series, please visit our website at www.wilsoncenter.org/maternal health or follow us on Twitter at @Wilson_MHI.